Well, doctors are sceptical about the 23 medical procedures the Health Minister has earmarked to be no longer funded by the Medicare benefits schedule.
I mean, that had absolutely no discussion with pathologists or radiologists about those changes. Certainly no discussion with the AMA. They were purely financial cuts announced as part of my EFO, driven, I believe, mainly through Treasury and Finance.
That's Brian Owler, neurosurgeon and president of the Australian Medical Association. He's worried that the 23 items announced for removal from the MBS, which includes 7 in diagnostic imaging, 9 in ear, nose and throat surgery, and other areas such as obstetrics, are purely savings measures and not cuts to out-of-date procedures. Susan Lee is the Health Minister. Welcome to RM Breakfast, Minister.
Good morning, Sarah.
Susan Lee, the cuts are expected to save $6.8 million. Have you been motivated by the Treasurer to go looking for these cuts? Is the main aim here cost saving?
The main aim is to review the MBS. This was announced in April this year, and this early work is very encouraging. The items that you mentioned were used many times last year, 50,000 in fact, and cost the health system $6.8 million. My question, therefore, is let's find ways, how do we find ways to reinvest this money both for the sustainability of Medicare and also for new items? I'll give you a quick example. One of the items listed is an examination of the larynx. So clinicians who work in this area, ear, nose and throat surgeons, have said this is an obsolete procedure. Let's delist it, but let's work on listing stroboscopy, which is an examination of the larynx with a strobe light. So new technology, innovative procedures need to be on the MBS, and old ones that doctors tell us should not be used need to come off.
Where will the savings go, though? Because you will be saving up almost $7 million by getting rid of procedures that you say are obsolete. So will that money be returned to the health system?
I've always said that we will reinvest for the sustainability of Medicare and in listing new items. So when you consider that the cost of Medicare has doubled in the last 10 years, we know that we've got to make the health spend as efficient as possible. But we also know we have to make room for new listings. So I see it as a two-part process. Some things come off, savings sometimes go back to sustaining Medicare, but in equal part, we want to be able to list items that don't exist, that technology demands and medical practice requests that we do.
So will all the money you save go back to, as you say, sustaining Medicare, or will some of it be returned to the Treasury for other purposes?
Well, some of it will go back to the Treasury, but the reason...
And what proportion will go back to Treasury?
I've said to doctors right from the beginning, I see this as roughly investing half for sustaining Medicare and half for new items. But the intention of this process is not a savings exercise. Now, yes, there were $6.8 million worth of these procedures used last year, and we use that figure to highlight what we believe is inefficient spending in health. But the purpose of this is to make the MBS reflect current clinical practice. At the moment, it doesn't. Some of these items have been listed for 20 years, last updated, never updated. They need to come off and new items need to go on. But the key integrity measure, as I say, about the MBS Task Force review is it's led by doctors. It has numerous working groups and clinical groups of the doctors in these specialties, and they're on board. So if they walk away, then I know that we're not doing this for the right reasons. At the moment, they're knocking down the doors to be part of this exercise. And as I said, the early work is encouraging, and I'm very pleased that we're going to get a better spend for our investment in the health dollar. What that means is better health outcomes for patients, and that's what this is about.
Well, you say doctors are on board, but earlier in the show I spoke to Brian Owler from the Australian Medical Association. He says the AMA wasn't consulted before you announced these first 23 items to cut. Why not talk to the AMA? Why not bring them along?
The listing of these 23 items is part of a long process which has had the AMA consulted from the very beginning. been on board from the very beginning, and in private, the AMA president has been encouraging about this process, and many of his members are very closely involved in it. So this has not come out of nowhere. These items are, we undertook before the end of the year to have a say about where the review was going, and that's why they've been released at this point in time. There's a consultation between now and early February when hospitals and the health system gears back up, and there's still an opportunity for more people to have their say. So I am very committed to the consultation.
Brian Allis says patients' out-of-pocket expenses will rise as a result of these measures. Will they rise?
Well, they shouldn't rise, because clinicians have told us that these measures are outdated clinical practice. So there's actually a non-financial reason why they shouldn't be used. They're not clinical practice, best clinical practice. Sometimes doctors say, look, I'm looking through the MBS for an item that reflects something that I've been doing in my consulting room and my surgery for years, and I can't find it, and it's very frustrating. I accept that. I understand that. And we want to be able to list, as I said, the new items that they are using that make much more sense than the old items that are no longer best clinical practice, that may be used because nothing better can be sort of found to reflect what's going on. And that's not how the MBS should work. And that's not the approach governments should take to remunerating doctors. We want to get this absolutely right.
Minister, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was the Health Minister, Susan Lee.